God moving there, and the fellowship is growing, and they're healthy, and it's such a blessing. I still scratch my head. Sometimes I'll be back in the sound booth in the back of our sanctuary, and just these people there, they're worshiping the Lord, and it'll hit me. I'm their pastor, and I'll start getting a little teary-eyed, and God, Lord, thanks, you know, you're using me. I don't know why, but you're using me. It just blows my mind, you know, what God can do. And it is so neat to come back here, though, and see all you folks. And I wish after the service I could hang out, but, you know, I got to go over to the west side, too. But, you know, instead, while I'm rambling on here, why don't you turn over to your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 while I tell you this. Since I can't hang out after the service, you guys are all invited to come up to the White Mountains and say hi, okay? And that if you're up there, you know, on a Wednesday or a Sunday, you know, do fellowship with us and, you know, neat bunch of folks up there. Your brothers and sisters in the White Mountains, they're a really neat bunch of folks. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 there this morning. And hopefully you're all there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. It's awesome because you're awesome, Lord. You love us so much. You've not only forgiven us because of our faith in what your Son has done for us, but Father, you have adopted us into your family. You have sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, and you have given us gifts to use for your glory. And we pray now, Lord, as we get into your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our ears so that we could hear from you, and that when we leave here this morning, we would know that you have spoken to us. And Lord, we would take those things to heart and apply them. Father, we do pray that you would bless this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Stir Up Your Gift. In 2 Timothy here, Paul encourages Timothy to do just that. But something that probably ought to know about 2 Timothy is this is the very last letter that Paul the Apostle wrote. And he's actually writing it from a Roman dungeon waiting to be beheaded by Caesar Nero. And in this letter here to Timothy, Paul, and really, because we know that the Bible is literally breathed out by God, this is actually God addressing Timothy. But not just Timothy, he's addressing us as well. But as he is talking to him, Paul is addressing, and really the Lord is addressing, the different apostasies and heresies and problems that had come up in the church at that time. And then he also, in 2 Timothy, addresses some of the things that would be happening in the last days and how to deal with those things. And so 2 Timothy is an awesome book for us. It's so relevant for us because not only are we in the last days that he wrote about, but some of the very same problems that were going on in the church at that time are going on in the church today. And so we get really God's perspective as to how to deal with these things. And Paul opens this letter up with his standard greeting, and then he tells Timothy how that he thanks God for him and that he prays for him night and day. And then he goes on to encourage him and assures him that he knew that the faith that was in Timothy was a genuine faith, just like the faith that was in Timothy's mother and grandmother. And then after he gets through that, we pick it up here in verse 6 where he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, like most people, Timothy needed constant encouragement to use the spiritual gifts that God had given to him. And this wasn't the first time that Paul had to remind Timothy. You know, in his first letter to him in chapter 4, verse 14, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." And, you know, you're thinking about this, like, well, wait a minute, Timothy's a pastor. If anybody should be using the gifts that God has given him, you would think that it would be a pastor, right? Why is it that Paul would have to remind Timothy both times that he wrote to him to stir up the gift that God had given to him? I'll tell you why I believe it is. I think it is because of our human nature. And our human nature seeks to be comfortable, doesn't it? I mean, think about that. You know, if it's hot, oh man, turn on the air conditioner, or let's move to the White Mountains or something. Man, it's hot. You know? Or if it's cold, hey, give me a jacket, man, roll up the window. Come on, you know, turn on the heater. We want to be comfortable. And that's just our human nature. There's nothing wrong with that in the physical, you know, as far as like, you know, if it's cold, put on a jacket. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Kind of dumb if you don't, really. But when it comes to living our lives for the Lord, we need to guard against being led by comfort, because it'll lead us astray. I believe that Timothy, just like all of us, because of our human nature, that we get kind of used to operating with the familiar. We get used to operating within our five senses, you know, what we can see and smell and taste and hear, you know, touch. Those things are what we're used to operating in. And so when we're born again, when we come to the Lord, receive the Lord, and he comes into our lives and fills us with his Holy Spirit, it's still something that, you know, we don't like to be comfortable. And so what we do, we end up, you know, developing a system of belief. You know, we go to the Bible and say, okay, what does it say? Okay, well, that's what I'll believe. And then we end up developing a code of conduct. Okay, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do, and all that. And so we do those things, believe those things, teach those things, but then we stop short of all that God has for us, because venturing out into using those gifts that God has given to us, well, it's not comfortable. And it isn't comfortable because, see, to operate in the spiritual gifts have nothing to do with the five senses. It has nothing to do with our intellect. It has nothing to do with our learned abilities, our natural talents. Because it's not natural. It's supernatural. Those spiritual gifts are supernatural. They're from God. And we need to understand this and to understand that, just like in our BC days, you know, but when we were babes, you know, babies learning how to do everything, we had to learn how to do it. We just didn't come out of the womb knowing how to walk and talk and tie our shoes and all that, right? I mean, we had to learn everything. And that's something that we need to understand, that when we are babes in Christ, when we are born again, that we have to learn how to live as Christians. And see, it's not just living according to those five senses and all learned abilities and all that. No, one of the first things that we learn or should learn is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, when it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, when it says by sight, that's just kind of using it as an illustration or whatever, just to typify all of the five senses. It's not the way we live our lives, or the way we're supposed to live our lives, is not according to just what we can see, taste, touch, and all that. But that's what we're familiar with. That's what we're comfortable with. But God says, no, there's more. We are to walk by faith. And when I was thinking about this, you know, putting the study together and all that, I was thinking about what it is to walk by faith and who would be a good example. And not being led by comfort and all that. And I was thinking about your youth pastor, Pete LaJoy, a good friend of mine. And you guys have probably all heard Pete LaJoy stories, right? Years ago, Robert was telling me this one time they were traveling. I think they were going to Ireland, but I'm not sure. They might have been going to Bulgaria or something. And they were in the airport. And they were in one of those restaurant deals. It's kind of like a buffet deal where you get your tray and you go to the different places. Yeah, I'll have some of that. Thank you. Yeah, I'll have some of that. Well, Robert gets up to the register, and he's going to pay for his lunch and for Pete's. Well, he looks around. Pete's not there. Where's Pete? Oh, there's Pete. He's over. He's reaching over the sneeze tray thing, you know, the shield, and he's got his hand on this gal, the macaroni and cheese gal. He's praying with her, leading her to the Lord. How does he do that? Yeah, but that's because God has given him the gift of evangelism, but it's also because he walks by faith. See, God has said, and really, this is really where walking by faith comes at, that to walk by faith means that when we're in a situation, any given situation, if we're really wanting to walk by faith, then it's, God, what do you say about this? What should I do in this situation? Well, God has told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Jesus Christ himself has said that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Pete, you know, he stirs up the gift that's in him, the gift of evangelism. He obeys the word of God by going and preaching the gospel, and cool things happen. A couple months ago, he was up there ministering to our youth group. And my grandson, who fellowships here and is a part of the youth group here, he was there with Pete, and after that evening, he was staying at our house. After that evening, he was telling me, "Grandpa, we went over to the skate park, and there's this whole group of kids over there. Pete just walks right up to them, starts sharing with them. Man, I don't know if I could do that. I'd be so uncomfortable." And I said, "Well, yeah, Andrew, you probably would be at first, until you started getting used to walking by faith. Until you start getting used to doing what God has called you to do." And that's just the way it is. If we're going to be led by our comfort, we're not going to step out and do those things that God has called us to do. But instead, by walking by faith, we look at each situation that we get into and we have to ask, what does God say about this? And then do that and count on God meeting us there with the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what he's called us to do. And he will do that. It says here, you know, he says, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you." And I like the way the NIV translates that first part, to stir up. It says to fan into flame the gift that God has given you. Fan into flame. That is so good. Because you know what? Most of us, because of this whole comfort thing, God has given each of us gifts. We'll see that. But most of us allow those gifts just to be there, possessed by us, but really just smolder, not really blazing. And God wants us to blaze. He wants us to fan into flames that which he has given to us. Because see, folks, flame produces heat and light, doesn't it? And folks, we're living in a cold, dark world that needs the light and the warmth of God. And God has given that to each and every believer to bring to the world. The world needs that. This lost and dying world, they need the light and the warmth of God. He's given that to us, and he wants us to fan it into flame. It's been said before that if you'll get on fire for Jesus, people will come just to watch you burn. And yeah, that's true. They will do that. But see, by faith, you really come to that point of that, you know, God's word is final. And as you fan those gifts into flame, as you are constantly, consistently using what God has given to you and walking by faith, obeying his word and doing those things in the way that God has prescribed those gifts to be used, you will be making a difference in your world. You will see the difference. God will be making a difference in you, but you'll be making a difference in your world. So you may not be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but you can go into your world and preach the gospel. And the Lord has each and every one of us right where he wants us to be able to reach those people that are in our sphere of influence, those people that we can bring the word of God to, the good news, the message of the gospel. Now, you might be saying, "Yeah, but how do I know which gifts I have?" Or, How do I know that I have a gift? Or what are the gifts or whatever? Well, we're not going to really get into that a lot today, but I want to give you a few verses, okay? So if you want to do some studying, you jot these verses down, you can go home and look these things up. And they're just a good few places to look to kind of get introduced to what the gifts are and how they operate. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, and then Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and then Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Those are several places that will help you to understand what the gifts of the Spirit are and how they operate and all. And something that you're going to see right off the bat, as soon as you start looking at those, is that every Christian has been given spiritual gifts. In fact, if you want to, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll start reading in verse 4, and you might want to underline some of these words here, but in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4, he says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." You see that? He works all of these different gifts in all of the believers. And then he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. You see that? To all of us, to each one individually as He wills. The Lord determines who gets what gifts, but He gives us those gifts that we need to accomplish what He has called us to do. But He gives those gifts to each one. Now, as we see this exhortation that Paul is giving to Timothy, again, really, it's God giving to all of us this exhortation to stir up the gifts. Jesus, actually, right before He left, gave us kind of a warning not to allow those gifts to really what He calls be buried. Turn over to Matthew 25, if you don't mind, or they may have it up on the deal here. But in Matthew 25, Jesus Himself speaking gives us what's referred to as the parable of the talents. Now, a talent isn't something that we should think of like, being able to dance or sing or whatever. But really, it was a measurement of wealth. And a talent in Israel, a talent of silver, was actually 100 pounds of silver. Okay, so we're talking about something that is very, very valuable as we look at this. Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." So let's look at that and understand what this is saying here. Jesus is speaking. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. The man is Jesus. The far country is heaven. Because we know that when Jesus was crucified, that he died and he was buried, but 3 days later he rose from the dead. And then after he hung out with his followers for a while, he ascended into heaven. So, and that's a far country, okay? I would say heaven's pretty far away. But it's like a man who travels to a far country. He says, who called his own servants, that's you and me, folks, his servants, and delivered his goods to them. And those goods are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. And just in case you didn't want, how do you know that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So understand what Jesus is talking about, him going to heaven, but when he goes, he leaves each of his servants gifts. He goes on in verse 15 and says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, and we know it's been at least 2,000 years, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. And look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant,
You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to know nothing about weeping and gnashing of teeth, all right? I want to hear, not just for me, but for you as well. I want to be on the sidelines. Those people that I have had the privilege and the honor of ministering to, I want to be able to hear for them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I'm hoping to hear from me and for you. But Jesus warns us here not to bury what he has given to us. And he has given to each one of us gifts to be used to accomplish what he has sent us to accomplish, what he has called us to. Now, you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. It says there in verse 6 that I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And you maybe say, well, wait a minute, nobody's ever laid hands on me. Is there any hope? I mean, can I receive the gifts of the Spirit without laying on of hands? I mean, is that the only way? Well, the deal is, oftentimes, back then, and still today, people receive the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit or, you know, the second experience of the Holy Spirit, or whatever you want to call it, that upon experience, through the laying on of hands, and it happened back then in Acts 19, starting in verse 1, tells us an incident about Paul going to Ephesus. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, a holy who? What? They had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of times Christians get saved and they never hear about the Holy Spirit either. But he goes on in verse 3 here in Acts 19 and says, he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, well, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there's an instance of it. But also in Acts chapter 8, remember where Peter is there in Samaria, and he's laying hands on people, and they're receiving the Holy Spirit and the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And remember Simon the sorcerer saw that, went, wow, that's cool. And he came to Peter and said, hey, how much money do I have to give you so that you would give me that ability to lay hands on people, and they could receive those gifts from me? It wasn't good for this guy, because Peter turned and said, your money perish with you, man. and it was not a good thing. But the deal is, God did operate that way, and he still does by laying hands on it. You know, and if you feel like, you know, I really would like that. I would like somebody to lay hands on me. Well, there's going to be pastors afterwards around here, and you know, Troy will be here, or there'll be the prayer counselors over in the prayer room. They will be glad to lay hands on you, pray for you, that you would receive all that God has for you. But the deal is, not always did it happen that way. You go and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10 if you want, and I'll just kind of set up the scene here. What happens is Peter is up on this rooftop in the city of Joppa, and he's in the house of Simon the Tanner. He's up on the roof praying, and God lowers down this sheet with all kinds of unclean animals. Remember, Peter was a good Jewish boy. and the Lord says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, no way, Lord. I'm a kosher dude. There's no way. You know, I've never eaten these things, not even from being a kid. And the Lord did that 3 times. And then the Lord said to him, what I have called clean, you don't call unclean. The Lord did that with Peter because he was about to do something that would blow his mind. See, up to that point, it was only Jews that had gotten saved. That's what the church was made of at that point, was just Jews. None of us Gentiles had been let in at that point. And God was about to do that. And so he prepares Peter that way. And as soon
As Peter finished that prayer and the vision, the whole deal there, knock on the door. And it's these guys that had come from this Roman centurion, Cornelius. He had sent them to go get Peter because Cornelius had a vision where an angel came to him and said, you send to Joppa at the house of Simon the Tanner, and you send for this guy, Simon Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to know to get to heaven. So he did that. So Peter, as soon as these guys are knocking the door, Peter's down there and says, what's up? Okay, yeah, I'll go with you. And so he goes with them without arguing. Before, you know, if that vision wouldn't have happened, he probably wouldn't have went with them because they were not Jewish. It was unclean for a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile. Well, he goes there, and Cornelius has all of his friends and family and all, they're all there. They're packing the house. And so Peter starts sharing the gospel with them. Starts sharing how Jesus had died for their sins and by believing in what Jesus did on the cross for them, that they could be saved. Well, as Peter was speaking, they started believing. And look what it says happened in verse 44. In Acts 10, 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So there's Peter preaching. These guys, as they're believing, God responds to that faith that is happening inside of them. And he not only saves them, but pours out his Holy Spirit on them and gives them the gifts right there. Remember, he gives to each one as he wills. Sometimes we're laying on a hand, sometimes not. You don't need somebody to lay on your hands. All you need to do is have faith in him and really ask him for what he wants to give you. And you know, Jesus said, your Father knows how to give you good gifts. And so, you know, just by believing, they received that before they were even baptized in water. It's an awesome deal there. Now, back in 2 Timothy 1, Paul continues to encourage Timothy by reminding him not just to stir up the gifts, but in verse 7 he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some of your Bibles, instead of the word fear, may have the word timidity there. And either one is good. God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and love and of sound mind. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 25, that the fear of man brings a snare. Now, a snare is a trap. If you're gonna set a snare for an animal, you need to put this thing out, and the animal may be walking by and get his foot caught in that snare. Well, that snare will keep the animal from moving and from going where he wanted to go. And that's a perfect illustration as to what the fear of man will do to us. See, if you're afraid of what people will say about you or what people will think about you, you're a Jesus freak. Well, you're snared. You will not move forward and do what God has called you to do in bringing the gospel. You're snared. It keeps us from going and doing what God has called us to do. Folks, there's no reason for us to be afraid. God hasn't given us that kind of a spirit. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. And that word power, you guys know that the New Testament was written in what's called Koine, or common Greek. And that word for power there is a Greek word, dunamis. We get our words dynamic or dynamite from that. And it's the same word that Jesus used in Acts 1:8. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If you look at a globe and you see where Jerusalem is, and you look and see where Tucson is, that's pretty much the end of the earth. That's about as far away as you get. And you know what? These believers that Jesus said would receive that power, they're no different than you and me. A lot of times we think that, and we're looking and seeing what God does with these people, and we think, they got to be different than me. I mean, you know, they probably didn't leave footprints when they walked. Or they had halos around their head, you know? Yeah, that's what they did. I've seen the paintings. They didn't, folks. They were just like you and me. And it was God's power that he had placed in them that caused them to be able to do the things that he had called them to do. When we read of them doing cool things, great things. In fact, an unbeliever back then looked and saw what was going on within the church and how God was just doing something awesome. And remember, we read in Scripture where he said, these are those who have turned the world upside down. They were able to turn the world upside down, folks. And you know what? We've been given that same power. And doesn't our world need to be turned upside down right now? And when you look at the way that our world is going, how we keep moving further and further away from God, doesn't it need to be turned upside down? Just as bad as it did back then? And you know what? God wants to use you and I to do that. And he has given us that same power. In fact, we serve an all-powerful God, don't we? We say he is omnipotent, all-powerful, because he is. And we've been given a powerful message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. And it is good news, and it's a powerful message that even though we've sinned, even though we've fallen short of God's glory, and the wages of sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death, even though we deserve that, that God loved us so much, that he sent his only son to die on a cross for us. And that if we would believe, if we would put our faith, our trust in what Christ did on the cross for us, that our sins could be completely eliminated, completely removed from us, and that we would not only be forgiven, but that we would be adopted into God's family. We would be one of his kids. And that he would fill us with his Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when we put our faith and trust in him, when we become believers, that he puts his Holy Spirit in us, in fact, refers to us as temples of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful thing the gospel is. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We have been given such awesome, awesome gifts, but with being given gifts and such an awesome message, there is an awesome responsibility, isn't there? And God wants us to use what he has given to us. And the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and when we allow God to do what he wants to do, it's not only going to change us, but God will be using us to change the world around us. He'll be enabling us, and we'll start seeing some really awesome things happening in our lives as we just say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to be led by comfort anymore. I will obey you. I will walk by faith. I will do what you have called me to do, and I will use those gifts that you have given me to do what you've called me to do. And instead of burying those gifts, you know, it would fan them into flames, and that we would blaze for the Lord, we will see. Each and every one of us will see not only just a difference in us, but a difference in the people around us. We'll see God using us, and we'll see our world, you know, being turned right side up, really, for the Lord. And as we use those gifts the way he has gifted us and the way he has instructed us to use those gifts. And we'll use those gifts to build his kingdom, to glorify him, to bring more people into his kingdom, to edify his church. You know, and in doing so, we will be blessed. Folks, I encourage you to do that. Stir up the gifts that God has given to you. And let's see what he'll do in our lives, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you so much for you, for who you are, how you love us, and Lord, for your word and these words that you have given to us today. Lord, may we take them to heart. May we, Lord, be used by you in such a powerful way that our world really would be turned upside down. Father, use us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we do want to please you, and we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Be glorified in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks, and you know, it has been God move.